Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, Text Number 10. Vita Raga Vaya Krodha. Manmaya Mam Upashvitaha. Bhavo Jnana Tapasa. Puta Madhavam Agataha. Vita, freed from raga, attachment, bhaya, fear, krodha, and anger, matmaya, fully in me, upashrita, being fully situated. Bhava, many. Jnana, of knowledge. Tapasa, by the penance. Puta, being purified. Madhavam, transcendental love for me. Agata, attained. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all obtained transcendental love for me. Purport. As described above, it is very difficult for a person who is too materially affected to understand the personal nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Generally, people who are attached to the bodily conception of life are so absorbed in materialism that it is almost impossible for them to understand how the Supreme can be a person. Such materialists cannot even imagine that there is a transcendental body which is imperishable, full of knowledge, and eternally blissful. In the materialistic concept, the body is perishable, full of ignorance, and completely miserable. Therefore, people in general keep the same bodily idea in mind when they are informed of the personal form of the Lord. For such materialistic men, the form of the gigantic material manifestation is supreme. Consequently, they consider the supreme to be impersonal. And because they are too materially absorbed, the conception of retaining the personality after liberation from matter frightens them. When they are informed that spiritual life is also individual and personal, they become afraid of becoming persons again, and so naturally prefer a kind of merging into the impersonal void. Generally, they compare the living entity to the bubbles of the ocean, which merge into the ocean. That is the highest perfection of spiritual existence obtainable without individual personality. This is a kind of fearful state of life, devoid of perfect knowledge of spiritual existence. Furthermore, there are many persons who cannot understand spiritual existence at all. Being embarrassed by so many theories and by contradictions of various types of philosophical speculation, they become disgusted or angry and foolishly conclude that there is no supreme cause and that everything is ultimately void. Such people are in a diseased condition of life. Some people are too materially attached and therefore do not give attention to spiritual life. Some of them want to merge into the supreme spiritual cause, and some of them disbelieve in everything, being angry at all sorts of spiritual speculation out of hopelessness. This last class of men take to the shelter of some kind of intoxication, and their affective hallucinations are sometimes accepted as spiritual vision. One has to get rid of all three stages of attachment to the material world: negligence of spiritual life, fear of a spiritual personal identity, and the conception of void that arises from frustration in life. To get free from these three stages of material concept of life, One has to take complete shelter of the Lord, guided by the bona fide spiritual master, and follow the disciplines and regular principles of devotional life. The latter of devotional life is called bhava, or transcendental love of Godhead. According to the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the science of devotional service, Adal Sharatata Saru Sangatya Bhajna Kriya Tato Narti Naritisya Tato Nishtaru Chistata Ata Shakti Kanamayam Prema Pradurbhave Bhavat Krama. In the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the state of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, and under his instruction, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. By execution of devotion, the God spirit becomes free from all material attachment, attains steadiness and self-realization, and acquires a taste for hearing about the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. This taste leads one further forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, or the preliminary stage of transcendental love of God. Real love for God is called prema, the highest professional stage of life. In the prema stage, there is constant engagement in the transcendent loving service of the Lord. So, by the slow process of devotional service, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, one can attain the highest stage, being freed from all material attachment, from the fearfulness of one's individual spiritual personality, and from the frustrations that result in void philosophy. Then one can ultimately attain to the abode of the Supreme Lord. Vitaraga vaya krodha manmaya mamupashitya bahava jnana tapasa bhutamadbhavamagata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attain transcendental love for me. Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Pasika Dhyalate Sitarane. This verse comes after the verse where Krishna says, "Janma karma chamedi vyam evam yo veti tatvataha tyaktvadeham panar janma naiti mam eti sorjana." That one who can understand in truth the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving this material world, take birth again, but goes to the spiritual world. Therefore, one has to understand what is the process to understand Krishna in truth. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has stated that one has to search for him both directly and indirectly. Indirectly means that one has to become free from the material attachments that are explained here as attachment, fear, and anger. Indirectly means that one has to cultivate knowledge about Krishna and in this way associate with him. And that direct association with Krishna, as well as the freedom from anarthas or unwanted material consciousness, they are both obtained simultaneously through the process of devotional service. Idam jnanam upashitya mamasa dharma agataha. Hearing about Krishna, gaining knowledge about Krishna, is the same as associating with Krishna. Idam jnanam upashitya mama sadharmam agataha. And the more one associates with Krishna through the process of understanding him, then the more one becomes qualitatively the same as Krishna. The living entity is by nature qualitatively one with Krishna, but because of his misconception of identifying himself with the body, And with a subtle mind, he's acquired material desires. He's identified with material desires. And therefore, here it explains that one who's very grossly identified with his body, due to that identification, he cannot conceive of the Supreme as being a person with a spiritual identity. He cannot conceive of his own spiritual identity, what to speak of the Supreme Lord, his spiritual identity. Therefore, when the soul is very attached to this body, he also loses the ability to understand the personal nature of the Supreme. And so naturally he considers the material creation, the universal form of the Lord, to be supreme and cannot see anything beyond that, superior to that. Therefore, Vita Raga, those who are karmis, those who are grossly attached to sense gratification, due to their identification with their body, they'll also think of the Supreme in the same way as being material. Although, for instance, in most countries in the world, officially they claim themselves to be God worshippers, and then they have many temples and churches all around the world. But actually their conception of God is mundane. If they have a conception of all, many churches, if one goes to that church, he'll find that on the altar there's nothing, which is not so. Or sometimes they think that God, he is some old man sitting on a throne and he has no face. And that he's a very fearful person because he's always trembling due to his old age, because after all, he can't control things very well anymore. So therefore, things seem to go out of whack. He's trying the best he can, but he's just an old man. They should have put him on pension a long time ago, but because they couldn't find anyone to replace him, therefore he's still trying to be God. So you have to forgive him if bad things sometimes happen to good people. And others may think that actually they have one religion where they claim that all of us were being trained up to become God. So they consider that Jesus Christ, he was training people to become God, and that ultimately when we leave this body, then we can go to some heavenly world and we can be trained up to become God there. So they think that our mother, father, grandfather, sisters, brothers will all meet somewhere. Just like they have one picture in their religion, they have, when you leave your body, you go to the next world, where there is your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, they're all there. And Jesus Christ is there, and they're all at a table having a nice feast, and everyone is very happy, except for the turkey on the table, because it has a knife in its back, and it's a little painful. So this is mundane conception of religion, but this is due to one's mundane attachments. In the 17th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Shraddha Bhavati Bharata. Sattvanu Rupa Sarvasya Shraddha Bhavati Bharata. Shraddha Mayo Yam Purusha Yoyat Shraddha Saevasaha. That, O son of Bharata, according to one's existence under the various modes of nature, one evolves a particular kind of faith. The living being is said to be of a particular faith according to the modes he's acquired. So if we live in a certain way, we'll naturally also get a certain type of faith that goes along with that way. So though people may claim to worship God, but because they break every rule in the book that God has given, therefore their worship of God is simply imaginary. Actually, what they worship is the devil in the name of God. because they're engaged in all kinds of sinful activities, and therefore ultimately we see that even in the so-called Christian world, what they really worship is all types of violence to maintain their sense gratification. And therefore, even their worshipful deity, Lord Jesus Christ, they worship being tortured and killed. This they see as their... one person had a t-shirt in America. I was doing the airport during the last marathon. It said on his t-shirt, "His pain is your gain." This is their conception of how to worship their deity. They worship him suffering, thinking how much we're gaining by his suffering. And for those who are a little advanced beyond the gross conception, those who are not completely absorbed in the idea that sense gratification will make me happy, that if I increase my, if I get a new car, or a dozen cars, or a dozen wives or girlfriends, a dozen of everything, then I'll become happy. Those who are not into this conception, they're called gyanis. They have some knowledge. But generally people's knowledge is limited to understanding something about not being this body. But that type of knowledge is also limited, and therefore it leads one to the idea that the perfection of life is merging into the ocean of spiritual existence and becoming one with everything. So people talk like that I am you and you are me and we're all the same, that whatever is yours is mine, whatever is yours is mine, and whatever is mine is mine. It's all one. It's all me. So these type of people also, as it says here, the first type of person who's completely absorbed in the materialism, they, of course, neglect spiritual life. They're the people who are rushing here and there, and when you ask them to take a book, they say they have no time because they're too busy rushing here and there to make money, and to buy things for their sense gratification. They can't see anything of value beyond this. They think, oh, they're wasting their time, that this is mythology. And the second class of people, they have no conception of a spiritual identity. They fear having a spiritual identity. They think material life is so distressful, therefore, spiritual life is probably equally distressful. Therefore, they naturally prefer merging into a void, because they see that because I have this personality, I have so many attachments, and all these attachments are painful, the results are painful, distressful. Therefore, better to become free from this material identity, this personal identity, and merge into the void. And the last class of people, they think materialism is futile, I have to die, and merging into a spiritual existence is simply imaginary. Therefore, they don't believe in anything, and their conception is that when you're dead, you're dead. That's it. That you become zero. So, of course, this is a fearful stage of life, because who wants to become zero, to just cease to exist and disappear? Therefore, modern society, we can see the major problem is fear. Everyone is fearful. No one knows what's going to happen the next moment. Everyone's afraid of what's going to happen, because ultimately everyone knows what's going to happen. Everyone's going to have to die. And these three conceptions of life, the prospect of leaving one's body, none of them are very pleasant. And the first one, in the material conception of life, when you're dead, you're dead, and that's it. And in the second, in this so-called spiritual conception of life, merging, when you merge, you become everything. which means you become nothing. You become the person, but there's nothing to do. You're nothing, practically. And the last class, void, it's practically all the same. They all practically say, when you're dead, you're dead, or when you're dead, you're everything, which is really nothing anyhow. So it's as good as being nothing, being everything. So these are naturally fearful stages of life, all of them. Not very interesting, not very enthusing to think, I'm going to work hard, and at the end, it's nothing. Or I'll find out, I'll work for spiritual realization, and I'll become everything, which is really nothing anyhow. Or it doesn't really matter whether you work hard or not, or you become spiritually realized, because zero, you become zero anything. So these are all anarthas. These are all conceptions that take away one's enthusiasm. They're all based upon ignorance. They're all ignorant conceptions of life. They're all denials of the supremacy of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one has to become free from these stages of life, which are all impediments in the process of devotional service. That is, fear of a person of the negligence of spiritual life. This laziness, this thinking that spiritual life is simply another type of material activity. These are all conceptions. Why should I work hard in spiritual life? Why should I go out and distribute books? Why should I clean the temple? No one else is doing these things. Why should I work hard? What's in it for me? This is all material contamination due to the mode of ignorance. Ignorantly thinking ourselves to be products of material nature and thinking devotional service will also be the same as material activity. And one has to become free from this fear of a personal spiritual identity, thinking that this identity is my identity, but one has to understand that we have a spiritual identity in a completely different mood, a different experience. And one has to see that when one is dead, one is not dead, because we don't die, we're not this body, that death simply means changing to another body. But if one is fortunate, then idam jnanam upashitya mamasa dharam agataha, that if one develops his consciousness, then he can obtain a body just like the body of Krishna and not be disturbed at the time of annihilation or be born at the time of creation. Sargepi no pajayante pralayen avyantanti cha. That the aim of human form of life is to develop our spiritual body by association with Krishna. And Krishna is associated with, Krishna's association can be obtained through the process of devotional service, beginning with hearing. Sitam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti yat karana rasayanam kata. That in the association of devotees, hearing about Krishna, this is the process of associating. And all glories of devotional service, one should naturally practice them. And by practicing the devotional service, this taste, this enthusiasm for hearing about Krishna. So, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions?
Tadarajastamo bhava kama lova deyasraye cheta eta anavidam stitam sadhe prasivati.
I want to talk about this more
formal. Means that at that state of nishtava, absence of which one is said to have come to the state of nishta. One of them is performing kirtan, or if one is performing hearing, or if one is. Another one is called apratipati, lack of indifference performing those activities. Another is called kashaya, the absence of taste or material sense gratification. So in the act of hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna without any impediment. So there may be some slight goal, but
who's full of anarthas, these anarthas actually deviate him from devotional service. Yes. Pinned by them, or that's a kind thing to say.
Well, I think is it possible that even though we know that Krishna's still alive, that we're at our own spiritual identity?
It means that in proportion to our realization of Krishna, to that proportion, and to the proportion that we're not in Krishna consciousness, that proportion we're covered by. These are the major material misconceptions that we're covered by. But it's going on. And that one is completely immersed in ecstatic love at 24 hours a day. So if we're not completely overwhelmed in ecstatic love for Krishna, why even be aware of how much we're attached and how much we're not, we're in Krishna consciousness. But the more we become Krishna conscious, then the more we'll be able to understand these things. Just like sometimes I may... spiritual consciousness decreases or as material consciousness increases, then spiritual consciousness proportionally decreases. So at one moment I may be completely in bliss, remembering Krishna, and I was very disturbed. So things may change throughout the day, moment to moment. Yes. For those who take the impersonal, to make progress in that discipline is always difficult, full of misery for those who are embodied. So, one cannot speculate, but if one wants to understand what it's like, the best process is to take to devotional service to Krishna. Because then this mukti, this liberation from material existence, automatically follows, automatically liberated. But liberation is by engaging in pure devotional service to Krishna. And then one will understand what the insignificance of Brahman realization is. Of course, here in the material world, there are different degrees of happiness. This is just like one drop of water in the ocean. And the happiness that is progressively felt through the higher planetary systems makes the happiness felt in the heavenly planets to be practically insignificant also. And even the happiness felt by Lord Brahma, which is hundreds of millions of times greater than ours, is insignificant compared to the happiness felt by Brahman, by a liberated soul who has no material miseries but is simply situated in his own Atma, his own experience of himself. That if you took, if you multiplied the happiness of Brahman 1,000,000,000,000 times, it would not equal one fraction of a drop of the ocean of the happiness of devotional service, or one drop of the ocean of devotional service, the happiness that is experienced from one drop of the ocean of devotional service. Anything else? Okay. Yes. We identify our ego as being Krishna's servant. We think, I have no goal in life, save and accept to act in Krishna consciousness just to satisfy Krishna. So, by the proper use of our intelligence, we identify ourselves as Krishna's servant. And by acting that way, then our false ego goes away. As we realize Krishna, then we get our real ego, our real identification as being Krishna's servant. And automatically our false ego disappears. Just like if you turn towards the sun, then automatically you're in light.
But if you turn away from the sun, you're in darkness. So what you do is you just turn towards the sun, and then automatically the darkness goes away. Yes. Yeah, it's a Savai Punso Pro Dharmo. Yato Bhakti Ahoksude Ahaitiki Pratiyata Yatma Supersedate Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Hai Priyojita Jnana Yatyai Shivai Ragyam Jnana Chayata Haitukam. If one executes devotional service, then causeless knowledge and detachment they follow. So, as one realizes Krishna, one's relationship with Krishna, one is goes beyond the material platform. He can execute devotional service under any circumstance. So that's vairagya. And automatically he understands things properly, both in the material world and the spiritual world. He's not confused. He doesn't think one moment I'm Krishna's servant, next moment he thinks he's his body. He realizes his real identity. Therefore it says, such a person, yadricha santushto dvanvadito nimatsaraha samaksa virasiraucha kripvati nanabhajite. Such a person, or at previous verse, acts with body, mind, and intelligence perfectly controlled, gives up all sense of proprietorship, and acts only for the bare necessities of life. One who is satisfied with gain which comes from his own accord, who is free from duality and does not envy, who is satisfied both in, who is steady both in success and failure, is never entangled although performing activities. So one does not become entangled by material consciousness no matter what he does. Brahman yada ya karmani sangam tyaktu karotiya lipite nasa paapena padma patram ivambasa. He's compared to a lotus leaf. The one who performs his devotional service, sacrifices for the Supreme without any attachment to the results, he's not affected by sinful action, just like the lotus leaf is untouched by water. So the lotus leaf may be on the water, but even if some drop of water goes on the lotus leaf, because of its waxy surface, immediately it falls off. So the lotus leaf may be on the water, but it's not touched by it. So man in Krishna consciousness may live in the material world, but he's not affected by what goes on in the material world, because he's actually living in the spiritual world. Yes. It's beyond that. It means that one who's in Brahman realization, he sees the background. Real Brahman realization means Krishna consciousness. Just like, for instance, one may realize the sun to different degrees. One may realize the sun as the sunshine, or he may, a little bit more advanced than that, he may realize the sun is a sun globe. And then ultimately, if he has full knowledge of the sun, he can go to the sun globe and meet the sun god there. So, Brahman realization, Brahmaiti, Paramatmaiti, Bhagavan iti, Shabdite, means that at first one may realize the effulgence coming from God and realize oneself to be qualitatively equal to that effulgence. The
spiritual world where God has these eternal pastimes, and the highest platform is to directly meet the Supreme Lord Himself, the source of all spiritual and material energies. So real Brahman realization means to meet Krishna. And all other realizations are just different stages of success towards meeting Krishna. So as long as one does not meet Krishna, then his consciousness remains incomplete. His realization is incomplete. Paramatma is just like the second stage. To realize how God is the all-pervading intelligence within this material world. Not only his energies are all-pervading, but Krishna himself, in his form as Paramatma, is all-knowing and all-controlling within this material world. Upadrasta namanta ja varta bhakta maheshwara paramatma iti chapyuto dehesmin purusha para. And this world is another, a supreme controller who exists as the overseer and permitter, the supreme sanctioner, and he's known as the super soul. So to see how not only how Krishna's energies are all pervading, but how Krishna himself is all pervading, that's Paramatma realization. But God is not simply limited or being an order supplier for the demands of the living entities, supplying them different types of energy. He also has his spiritual planet where he himself personally enjoys eternal loving pastimes with his eternal associates, and that's Bhagavan realization. Okay, thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.